6:30.
Miami City Ballet presents Program 2, Tradition and Innovation, featuring a world premiere by Liam Scarlett, Royal Ballet of London celebrated choreographer, plus the classic Don Quixote, Pas de Deux, and two George Balanchine audience favorites. Program 2 opens January 11th in Miami, January 18th in Fort Lauderdale, and January 25th in Palm Beach. Tickets at MiamiCityBallet.org or 877-929-7010.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Happy New Year to you. I'm Ed Bell. Coming up on the program today, Iris Van Eck speaks with Charles Greenfield about her Chameleon Chamber Music series. We'll also flash back to our concert last November featuring Aaron Libos's Reality, an amazing contemporary jazz band we hope you'll enjoy. Founded in 1981, the not-for-profit National Young Arts Foundation has been helping to cultivate the country's greatest young talent for decades. 2013 will be a huge year for young arts, and to find out why, we recently spoke to their executive director, Mr. Paul Lear. Paul Lear, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you so much, Ed, for having me back.
Well, obviously the great news is you all are saving the Bacardi property and the magnificent buildings, and give us a little briefing on that. Marvelous news.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and the reaction that we've gotten from the community has been fantastic. We purchased the 3.5-acre former Bacardi campus back in October and plan to turn it into an arts and cultural hub for the community, mm-hmm. where we've got great plans. We're master planning it with Frank Gehry, and
wow.
I think it's going to be a great jewel for the city.
Tell us how you'll transform the buildings. Let's go to the big blue and white tower.
Well, yeah, I mean, first off, I grew up here. I was a Miami Beach native, born and raised here, and I'd always known and loved those buildings, mm-hmm. but it was like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where you could never get in. And so it was screaming to be an arts organization. Yeah. And when I first thought of it and met with Facundo Bacardi, it quickly turned from a lunch to a dinner, and we got a deal done really quickly because they love the vision that we had for opening this to the community. They've been very supportive of the arts.
And I understand very generous as well.
Incredibly generous. They made a huge donation in kind of that building. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that wouldn't have been possible for us to do. You know, so we're forever grateful to the Bacardi family for everything that they've done. And so, you know, the plans are, it's a 3.5-acre campus, so it's a large campus. So the blue and white tower that everybody knows, that iconic structure that everybody loves, it's in Legoland, that's going to have different components. Now, I say everything subject to, you know, Frank Gehry and the master plan, which we're still working through, but we anticipate the top floor, the 7th floor with these spectacular views across the city and across the bay, is going to be a restaurant, bar, and lounge.
Oh, magnificent.
It's going to be great. It's going to be open to the public. We'll partner with an educational institution with culinary arts, so they've got the master chefs working with students, and they'll handle that side. And then on our side, we'll have a stage and a screen, so we can have small jazz performances, or blues, or pop, or country, or Latin, or world, or dance, or film. So,
do you anticipate the stage to look out to the west from the blue and white tower?
Yes.
Because you have a lot of space.
Yes,
there.
Exactly right. So it'll be just a great space to come where you never know what you're going to get, but you always know, given the history of the organization, finding these great artists in the visual, literary, and performing arts and having an alumni base of 16,000, it's always going to be great young artists. So you'll come, you'll experience great art in a nice, quiet, easy environment to enjoy some good food, a glass of wine or a beer or a Bacardi, and hear great music, see great art.
And see a future Nicki Minaj or Terrence Blanchard or
Viola
Vanessa
Davis
Williams.
Or Vanessa Williams or Josh Groban or Adrian Grenier.
Josh Groban
wow. as well. Yeah, no, I mean, it's great. This program discovered all these superstars when they were 17 years old and gave them encouragement to say, you really should continue this, you should do this, you've got real talent, and lo and behold, there they are.
Give us a few more alumni member names.
Vanessa Williams, Viola Davis, Kerry Washington, Josh Groban, Terrence Blanchard, It goes on and on. It really does. About 16,000 of them. So that's the seventh floor. Then the 6, 5, and 4 will be office space. The third floor, we're anticipating being artists in residence. There will be between 2 and 6 units for artists in residence to come and live and stay, whether Placido Domingo wants to come, Bill T. Jones, one of our other artistic advisors, along with Placido Domingo and Frank Gehry, has already said he wants to come and spend about a month a year here, living there, working in the space, working outdoors, and working in the Jewel Box building, performing in the Performing Arts Center that we're going to be building, and then teaching master classes and opening things up to the community. So that's the second floor. And then the first and second floor will be a full-time exhibition and gallery space with year-round exhibitions, and we'll partner already with Miami Art Museum, soon to be Perez Art Museum of Miami. And I've spoken with Bonnie Clearwater about doing MoCA, and then MoMA in New York and LACMA in LA, and then we'll start working with other institutions. We really want to partner with a lot of community organizations here in Miami.
Please include the Smithsonian as well.
Absolutely. Well, actually, the Smithsonian is one of our partners.
Wonderful. Now, if you could elaborate, Paul Lear, on the new performance space that Frank Gehry is going to design for you all. Small, a 600 to 900 seater?
We're anticipating probably 600 to 900 seats, which is sort of in that middle range area where you've got the smaller theaters down in Miami Beach and elsewhere, 200, 300, 400 range, and then you shoot up to the spectacular Arch Center at 2,000 seats. So we're looking for something smaller, more in the middle, to accommodate not only our needs, but also having spoken with community leaders to see what the needs are of the community as well.
Are you envisioning a closed theater or an open amphitheater?
Well, actually, Ed, a little bit of both. The campus, as I mentioned, is about 3.5 acres. So the entire right side of the property is going to become park. And like was done at the New World Center, where it's park with spectacular sound and spectacular wall casting, we're going to do the same thing in our new facility. So it'll be indoors and outdoors. But unlike what was done at New World, where it's really focused on classical music, this is going to be for all of the different disciplines that we have. So it's going to be music in all its forms, whether it's classical or jazz or pop or Latin or world, or theater in all its forms, or dance in all its forms, or cinematic arts in all its forms.
That is going to just enlighten an explosive area already due to the Arts Center, and just a couple of blocks to the north, you all are going to explode with all of these marvelous production ideas. So before we run out of time, Paul Lear, a Young Arts Week starts January 6th, and then you have your big annual event, an Affair of the Arts Performance and Gala. Let's hear more about those.
Yeah, so just next week, you know, January 6th to 12th, we have our annual Young Arts Week. So we kick off January 6th with the master class with Placido Domingo. Some of the great masters who are going to be teaching the master classes include not only Placido Domingo, as I just mentioned, but Adrian Grenier, our alum, and Bill T. Jones, and Lourdes Lopez, and Bobby McFerrin, and Marissa Tomei. And then the Affair of the Arts Performance and Gala, some of the alumni include the spectacular Emmett Cohen and Ernest Baker, both from Miami, as well as the Nickelodeon superstar Max Schneider, who always gets a huge round of people who love to come see him. So I encourage everybody to join us. And then every night there are free performances open to the public that we're going to be doing this year at the New World Center. So I encourage everybody to call and get your tickets held. They're all free, and we want the community to come and see the next generation of Desmond Richardson's and Viola Davis's and Josh Groban's, because they will blow you away how talented they are. So that's every night next week. And then on the 12th, January 12th, on Saturday evening, is our Affair of the Arts Performance and Gala. That's at the Gussman. I believe there are still tickets available for that as well. And it's our largest fundraiser of the year, and we encourage everybody to come check out the performance. This year, our leadership awardee goes to the fantastic dancer and choreographer Debbie Allen, and our alumnus Adrian Grenier of Entourage fame, and now is doing a documentary called Teenage Paparazzo. And then the spectacular violinist, Joshua Bell.
Well, Paul Lear, just magnificent what's going on with National Young Arts Foundation, growing ever so beautifully in new facilities, which will explode over the next, 2 years? You hope to accomplish most of the additions?
I like to move quickly, so I'm hoping the Blue and White Tower and the Jewel Box will be programmed within a year, and then I'm going to push, and the city has promised that they're going to work with us to try and get this park and Performing Arts Center done within, hopefully, 2.5 years.
Above all of those wonderful events, what's next for Young Arts?
Well, we've got our programs expanding across the country. So what we're doing in Young Arts Week, we're actually doing in New York as well, and in Washington, D.C. as well, and in Los Angeles as well for the first time this year. So we're trying to give the experience to more young artists who are deserving of the support and recognition. And then in Miami, with the new campus, we plan to have activities year-round, exhibitions like I mentioned on the first and second floor, but then dance programs throughout the year and visual arts programs and theater programs and film programs and master classes and workshops. So we really hope that the community will come and hear great music and see great art and get involved in all different kinds of art forms that they may not really have experienced before.
Thank you so much for making all of this happen in South Florida. Magnificent.
It's a great place to be in the arts. South Florida is a fantastic community.
Paul Lear, thank you so much for joining us again on South Florida Arts Beat. And good luck, sir. These are magnificent plans.
Thank you so much, Ed.
Once again, cinematic arts, dance, jazz, music, photography, theater, visual arts, voice, and writing are all celebrated during Young Arts Week as presented by Young Arts. For more information about the many free events and their fundraiser, go to youngarts.org. Please stay with us on South Florida Arts Beat. We'll be back in just a moment.
It's 18 minutes past one, South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN. Great to have you along. This week at O Cinema Miami Shores, Chasing Ice. This New York Times critic's pick is the story of one man's mission to change the tide of history by gathering undeniable evidence of climate change. Details at o-cinema.org.
The University of Miami is still accepting applications for the January start of its Executive MBA in Health Sector Management and Policy program. This Executive MBA program, top-ranked in the nation by Modern Healthcare magazine, prepares physicians, nurses, administrators, and other health sector professionals to manage and lead in health sector organizations. Weekend classes are held once a month. Now is the time to apply for classes that begin in January. More about the streamlined application process at MiamiHealthMBA.com.
Diane Rehm, one of public radio's most popular personalities, is visiting South Florida to help benefit WLRN Public Media. Join us for Dinner with Diane Rehm, Friday evening, February 8th, at Fort Lauderdale's Marriott Harbor Beach Resort and Spa. Diane Rehm shares her experiences with some of our country's most influential citizens, and you can take part in the conversation February 8th in Fort Lauderdale. Tickets available now at WLRN.org or call 866-247-9576.
It's South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station. Hello, Ed Bell with you. We hope you're having a happy new year. Coming up on the show, we'll flash back to our concert of last November featuring Aaron Libos's Reality, quite an amazing contemporary jazz band that we think you'll enjoy. The annual Chameleon Chamber Music Series is already underway with their concerts up in Fort Lauderdale. And to catch up with the excitement, our classical contributor Charles Greenfield spoke with cellist and artistic director Iris Van Eck.
The Chameleon Chamber Music Series, founded by cellist Iris Van Eck, bases its concerts out of the ballroom of the Josephine Leiser Opera Center, 221 Southwest 3rd Avenue, Fort Lauderdale. It calls itself a medium composed of established concert artists who have a passion for chamber music. Some adjectives used to describe the musicians are polished, subtle, spirited, and precise. Most importantly, they bring a form of classical music that is imbued with charming intimacy and intense depth of feeling. Like many small cultural groups, they rely on the generosity of music lovers and larger institutions for funding. Thanks to the Broward Cultural Council, they are managing to hang on to their Sunday concert series during January, February, April, and May 2013. Considering the considerable upwelling of interest in South Florida for all types of classical to contemporary music, it is worth noting that Dade County takes the lion's share of organizations devoted to the cultural arts. To fill the niche in Broward for chamber music seems only natural, considering Friends of Chamber Music, directed by Julian Krieger, resident groups like UM's Bergonzi String Quartet and FIU's Amarnet String Quartet, and the mainly Mozart series in Coral Gables in May and June, have filled the space here in Dade. The Chameleon Chamber Music Series started October 5th with an all-Beethoven program, and November 25th with string trios by Schnittke and Beethoven and a piano quartet by Joseph Suk. It continues in 2013 with four concerts. Cellist and artistic director Iris van Eck was born in the Netherlands, studied flute and then cello at the Royal Conservatory in The Hague. She is released on the Eroica label Works for Cello and Piano by Women Composers. Her recording of the complete works for cello and piano of Gabriel Fauré with pianist Kamal Gekic is available through Gramma Media. Recently, I had the opportunity to talk with Iris van Eck about the upcoming season for the Chameleon Chamber Music Series. Iris van Eck, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat.
Thank you so much. I'm very happy to be here.
They often say that chamber music is a dialogue among equals. Yet many composers emphasize one instrument over others, and I wonder how you as a cellist put up with a dialogue that may seem one-sided.
In fact, I have thought about that, but it's never a one-sided dialogue because, well, as a cellist, I'm fortunate enough to have to play bass part at some point. Sometimes I play the melody, and it's very rewarding to do both, and neither one can actually stand by itself, of course. Like there's a difference. For instance, I'm going to be playing the Schubert Sonata, the Arpeggione Sonata with Kamal Gekic. Schubert Sonata is really written as a concerto or as a song where you hear an introduction by the piano. After that, mainly it's the cello who has the melody, and the piano plays humpas, basically, in the background. And it's really a solo piece for cello.
Almost like a showcase for the cello.
For the cello.
Right.
Of course, my pianist, Kamal Gekic, chose that piece because he said, oh, that's so beautiful.
Well, I want to talk a little more about the cello and its attraction and how difficult is it in terms of bowing techniques and its physical size.
Yeah, for me, the attraction for the cello was actually because of the sound. I love the sound of a cello. I used to play flute before that, and that it's always high. It actually is also mostly melody instrument. And for cello, it's much broader. You can go very low, but you can actually also go as high as a flute. So the possibilities are endless, and it just attracted me enormously.
Now, you recorded Women Composers of Cello and Piano Music, and that came out on the Eroica label a few years back. What about women composers? We don't really hear too much about that.
Yeah, women have historically been sort of undermined as far as getting their works out. It was okay to do it at home, such as like Clara Schumann and Fanny Mendelssohn, but outside the home, it was very much frowned upon. So the composers that I have on that recording are a Dutch composer, Henriette Bosmans, who was born in 1895. And her father was the first principal cellist of the Concertgebouw Orchestra, actually. And her mother was a pianist. And she lived till 1952, about. And I grew up in Holland. I had never, ever heard of her until I started finding it. And it's an absolutely amazing piece.
Well, I'm going to suggest that our listeners go and get that CD. It's from the Eroica label, and it's called?
It's called Works for Cello and Piano by Women Composers. And actually, the best way right now to obtain a copy would be to go to my website and send me an email.
And the website is?
Chameleonmusicians.org.
Very good. Now, your latest CD is on the cello and piano again, and all the works of Gabriel Fauré. Now, there's a lot of color, a lot of nuance in that music.
Yes, there is. And actually, it's interesting because it's a very much of an array of pieces. Opus 16 is a berceuse, which is a lullaby. Right. It has a muted sound, and it's specifically muted because you put a mute on it, which is also done in Sicilienne, which is probably a piece that a lot of people know, which is normal until close to the end, and then you put a mute on, and it's just amazing how different it suddenly sounds. And then I started that CD with Elegy, which is probably the most known work. It's also done for cello and orchestra. There's a fantastic recording of Jacqueline Dupré, for instance. And it's Opus 24. And the two sonatas that I have recorded, they are some of his last works. It's Opus 109 and 117. And it's a total different foray than the beginning foray.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about your concert season so far. There have been two concerts. You had piano trios by Beethoven in October and trios by Schnitka and Beethoven in November, and a piano quartet by Suk. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the Beethoven concert was in October with Kemal Gekic and Robert Davidovich, and we played Opus 1, Number 1, and Opus 70, which is also called The Ghost, and Kakadu Variations. Then the concert in November, we played string trios, which was with my wonderful colleagues Misha Wittensen and Michael Klotz. And we played a trio by Schnitke, which he is a modern composer. And it's not all that pretty. Actually, it's sort of a hard piece to put on a program. I heard from a friend of mine that they got hate mail after they put it on their program. We didn't get any hate mail.
Well, that's
mail
good.
And I believe that the people actually sort of liked it. And it was written for the birthday of Alban Berg and performed at that time.
On January 13th, you and your partner of 8 years, Kemal Gekic, perform Stravinsky's Suite Italienne, Schubert's Arpeggione Sonata, and the Sonata by Samuel Barber. Tell us about the music and the challenge of these composers for two instruments.
Suite Italienne was written on a ballet, a Pulcinella suite. Actually, the suite was made out of the ballet. And it was done together with Piatigorsky. And it's a great piece. It's extremely hard. There is a tarantella in there, which keeps on going and going and going. And that would definitely be a piece to listen for.
You've already talked about the Schubert, I believe, and then the sonata by Samuel Barber.
Yeah, Samuel Barber, it's a beautiful sonata. I love it. It's of course, he's known for his adagio. And incidentally, he wrote a concerto for my teacher, Raya Garbusova.
Well, that's important.
Yes, it is.
Now, flute music heads the program for February 17th with Haydn, Villa-Lobos, and Mozart. And you're joined by Belgian flutist Aldo Bertin, who is principal with the Royal Flemish Philharmonic. He sounds like a very impressive musician and should bring a lot of elan to the mostly classical program.
Yeah, Aldo Bertin sounds fabulous. And he just happens to be in the States already, so he's coming by and playing with us. And I'm very happy to have a flute back at my program, because originally I started this series with my friend Christine Nielt. She was the first flutist of the Florida Philharmonic, and she died 5 years ago.
So this is an homage a little bit to her.
It's a little bit of an homage to have a flutist back.
And at April 7th, which sounds like great fun, you'll have quintets by Beethoven and Brahms. You'll be working hard with FIU's resident Amarnet String Quartet. What can we expect from the two Bs and one of South Florida's foremost chamber quartets?
Well, what we will be doing, it's a concert of transcriptions. We will be performing Beethoven Kreutzer Sonate, which is an anonymous arrangement for string quintet. And then we are also doing a transcription of the Brahms Quintet Opus 34. And this was done by Ansi Kartunen. And it's originally, Brahms had written this for a string quintet. Then later he didn't like what he was doing. He wrote it for two pianos and then was convinced later on to make it in a piano quintet, which he did. And of course, knowing Brahms, he always threw out what he didn't like. He threw out the original version. But we are trying to recreate this now.
Now, the season finally ends May 12th with piano trios with you, violinist Dmitry Pogorelov, and pianist Misha Dacic. The music is by Tchaikovsky, Schubert, and the Swedish female composer Elfrida André.
Yeah, that was another total surprise. I got a message on my Facebook page by a friend of mine who once in a while will post unusual things. And it was so beautiful. I had to find her music and wanted to perform it. She lived from 1841 to 1929. And she was a Swedish organist, composer, and conductor. And she was very much an activist in the Swedish women's movement. And she was one of the first female organists to be appointed in Scandinavia.
Well, that should be a wonderful concert, and especially bookends your CD on women composers. And I want to thank you, Iris van Eck, for coming to South Florida Arts Beat.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
In its 11th season, the Chameleon Chamber Music Series adds a necessary and pleasing component to the general mosaic of South Florida cultural arts. The idea of attending an intimate duo, trio, quartet, or even quintet setting in downtown Fort Lauderdale, a half block away from Riverwalk on a Sunday afternoon, should be reason enough. For ticket information, call 954-761-3435 or download a brochure on their website, chameleonmusicians.org. For South Florida Arts Beat, I'm Charles Greenfield.
Charles Greenfield has written for the Miami Herald and the Coral Gables Gazette and is a current contributor to famtripper.com. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will continue in just a moment.
Moving to the first rays of dawn.
The Adrian Arsch Center presents the one-of-a-kind singer-songwriter and international sensation Matis Yahu, January 19th, in an intimate acoustic performance featuring his roots reggae hits and chart-topping songs off the new album Spark Seeker, plus an audience Q&A session where Matis shares stories about his musical and spiritual journey. Information at arschcenter.org.
Forever by my side, you're my golden sunshine.
The time is 1:35 and you're listening to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. A very good afternoon to you.
The newest landmark in Miami's design district is Orchid, an exotic theatrical experience featuring song, dance, aerial acrobatics, and variety acts performed in a vintage European cabaret tent. This pop culture-infused extravaganza harks back to the pleasure gardens of the 19th century. The Miami Examiner says, make sure you see Orchid before it's too late. Orchid, extended by popular demand. Tickets and information at orchidtheshow.com.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. I'm Ed Bell. Our next two segments were originally broadcast November 16th, 2012. We hope you enjoy these archive editions. Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Our program today is generously funded in part by listeners like you and generously co-sponsored by Pollo Tropical, where you can make your own Tropi Chop. Pollo Tropical offers gift cards in any amount. Details and store locations at PolloTropical.com. And we're also generously co-sponsored by Friends of WLRN. Despite winning Florida State classical piano competitions at the tender age of five, our leader today, Aaron Libos, is now cutting quite a renowned path as a modern jazz guitarist. A graduate of the prestigious University of Miami Frost School of Music Jazz and Studio Music Program and the FIU School of Music, this versatile guitarist has performed with Latin pop stars throughout the last decade and is now concentrating on session work and local gigs. Each summer, he returns to campus to teach at the Young Musicians Camp at the University of Miami. His new band, Reality, is comprised of stellar music professionals and educators, Jim Gazier on keyboards, Eric England on bass, and Rodolfo Zuniga on drums. Be on the lookout for their new recording, hopefully available next month. Ladies and gentlemen, won't you please welcome to South Florida Arts Beat for their worldwide performance, Aaron Libos, Reality.
Thank you. Thank you.
Aaron Libos Reality. More info at AaronLibos.com. We'll be back in just a second. Stay with us.
It's South Florida Arts Beat on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. A very good afternoon to you. Happy Friday. You can experience the future of the arts during Young Arts Week, January 6th through 12th. Since 1981, the nation's next generation of artists have come to Miami to learn from master teachers and to share their talents with audiences through performances, screenings, and exhibitions. More information at youngarts.org.
Undeniably the reigning virtuoso of the violin, multi-Grammy Award winner Itzhak Perlman enjoys superstar status. Beloved for his charm, humanity, and boundless talent, audiences everywhere praise his flawless technique, elegant interpretations, and impeccable precision. Itzhak Perlman, one of the great violinists of our era, in an intimate recital. Broward Center, January 7th, 7:30 p.m. Tickets at 954-462-0222 or browardcenter.org.
And we're back in our studios on WLRN in downtown Miami with the Aaron Libos Reality.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time with Aaron Libos and Reality. Aaron Libos on guitar, Jim Gaisier keyboards, Eric England on bass, and Rodolfo Zuniga on drums. For more information, go to aaronlebos.com. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. Adrian Kennedy is our executive producer. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Thanks to our technical directors today, Andy Wagner on the broadcast mix with Chris DeAngelis on the music mix. We'd also like to thank our contributor, Charles Greenfield. Please call us with your comments at 305-995-2258. You can fax us at 305-995-2221 or email your event information to us at info@wlrn.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with host Joseph Cooper, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, happy new year, and as always, please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM, NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye, enjoy.